can't hear anything.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Dominic A. Mandela Monday, right here on the big show.
Happy Monday to you. We got Calvin on the board today, of course, our fair audience. Happy Monday to us all. Crudy, it seems just like yesterday we got off the air on Friday, and I thought Mandela did a fantastic job lighting up U.S. Senator Ron Johnson at that debate.
Yes, the senatorial debate was quite entertaining, to my opinion. And quite one-sided. It was an ass-whooping. Rojo didn't look great. That was my opinion. Mandela Barnes joins us today about 4:45. Tune in early, about 4:50. But, you know, don't be late. So be right here. And don't go anywhere, because we got a big show all the way through. Dom, we're going to recap the senatorial debate. And we're going to talk about your rich buddy from Connecticut, Tim Michaels. He wants to be our governor, Dom. Yet his company has done, what, $1 billion plus in business with the state of Wisconsin. That's a lot of business, Dom.
And that's good work if you can get it.
Well, he claims he's going to divest himself from this grandiose business of him, the Michaels Corporation, big road builders. But how's he going to do that?
That's a great question, Crudy. I'm glad you asked. Hopefully, he won't win the election, so he won't have to worry about it.
Well, that's a nice thought, Dom. Nice thought. So,
but practically speaking, though, I mean, it is certainly a question to be answered, Mr. Michaels. If you do win, how does this look? How does this work? How will you govern and how will you lead your corporation? What happens? I mean, these are questions that should be answered prior to people going and voting.
Inquiring minds want to know. Dom wants to know. Dom, let's talk about the debate, though. In honor of the candidate coming just a little bit later in the big show, once again, Mandela Barnes joins us about 4:45. But, Dom, we've got a little bit of the sound. And you and I enjoyed the friendly confines of the Shaw Studios. And we watched the debate on C-SPAN, I think, and we listened to the debate on the Civic Media Network. And it replayed out over the course of the weekend on Saturday, on Sunday. And I'm having the benefit of the analytics, the listenership, Dom. Here's what I'll tell you.
What?
Our audience wanted to hear that debate. They wanted to listen to that debate. And I suspect many of them watched the debate. But there was a lot of interest in this little Friday night fight. And at the end of it, Mandela Barnes was clearly the better candidate.
Clearly, without question.
And the better man, quite frankly. Dom, we've got some sound. Calvin's going to help us on this, but we've got some sound. Let's recap a little of the sound. What was your gut takeaway from the big debate, Tom?
You know, obviously very concerning. I mean, this is we're a purple state. Every vote counts. Every opportunity for the candidates counts. And I was pleased that Mandela came across as Mandela and Ron came across as Ron. I think they came across, I thought the representations of each other's character, I think it was right on. It was spot on. When you saw Mandela up there talking about the issues and pushing back on Ron Johnson, that is Mandela Barnes. When you see Ron Johnson up there, you know, throwing the bombs and stuttering and stammering and not coming up with a whole lot of great solutions for, you know, the people of Wisconsin to justify another 6 years, that was Ron being Ron. I think that part I was happy to see that. And in that context, I think Mandela walks away with this debate.
Dominic, the only disappointment I would suspect from some of our audience members, they wanted us to jump back on the mics on Friday night and to recount the debate, give our immediate reaction to the high drama, the action we had seen. And L.A. Tom out there on the leftist coast, I think he was tweeting at us, boys, you're going to talk now, right? And I had to confess on behalf of the panel, you and the, you know, Senate debate bingo had chosen whenever Ron Johnson started stammering, you would have a little wee sip of tequila.
Just a nip.
And you were like 2.5 sheets
done. I made the executive call to not go back on the air after an hour of that sipping tequila nonstop. You know, it's usually a great idea, usually not as good as an execution. So we'll have to get into it today.
Yes. Shouldn't let you drink on an empty stomach. I did feed you afterwards, though.
Afterwards. Yes, thank you for that.
Let's play a little stammer and stutter and Ron Johnson. And let's start with Rojo. Cut 23 here, Calvin. We're going to do first. Rojo accuses Barnes on abortion. Let's see. Cut 23.
The question that has to be answered is at what point does society have the responsibility to protect life? It's just that simple. And I've actually laid out a sample referendum ballot, and you can also find that at wisfacts.com.
Okay. Listen to Governor Barnes.
Well, the senator knows very well that the referendum won't happen with the legislature we have now. This is him trying to run away from his dangerous, out of touch, and extreme position. And when you take a position like that, there's so much that you don't always see. Let's talk about Texas as an example. There's a woman who had to be hooked up to a breathing machine because she had complications with her pregnancy and could not get an abortion. A 10-year-old girl in Ohio was raped and had to cross state lines to get an abortion. That's Ron Johnson's America. And 70% of the people think Roe versus Wade should be the law of the land here. Now, when we talk about children and unplanned pregnancies, Senator Johnson once went so far as to say it's not his responsibility to take care of our children in this country. Won't even support the child tax credit. Now, people are dealing with some very tough circumstances, but the senator would rather make a political point than to do the right thing to protect families and to protect the health of women.
Now, I think Obama misconstrues. Rojo actually said it's not government, it's not America's responsibility to take care of other people's children.
I think Barnes had a great comeback. This is Ron Johnson's America. And for Ron Johnson to sit there and just, oh, you know, we have to ask the question, when is it our responsibility? Well, that's a great question to ask, Ron. Maybe since you're running for Senate, you should answer it. Well, is it preconception? Is it when the sperm, according to some Republicans, is on the way to do the job? Is it that point? Is it conception? Is it 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 20 weeks? You tell me, Ron, you're the one that wants the job.
Yeah, but that's an idiotic thing to poll the American people or Wisconsinites on. You know, because really what he's doing is saying, when is it proper to tell a woman she doesn't have control over her own body? At what week in the pregnancy cycle do we get to dictate to a woman, you no longer control your own body? And let's say it's the old standard of viability. Well, that's a moving standard, potentially. And that has been a moving standard because science has advanced. But what I would say is, Ron doesn't really want an answer or a solution. Because polling doesn't really get us anywhere, Ron. You know, go out there and start, you know, let's say lobbying. If you're against certain aspects of the 1849 ban, which is what the state of Wisconsin is currently stuck with since the ruling in Dobbs, abortion is effectively illegal in the state of Wisconsin in nearly all circumstances. Maybe two doctor notes and the mom's dying, then we'll consider it. But Ron, you have the ability to do something about it. Or to at least try to move your caucus, your colleagues. On the state level, you're very influential, sir. But you're not going to, of course, because this is just, what, cover fire, as you pointed out, Tom. It's a red herring. Let's take a poll of the people. That doesn't mean squat, because it's an 1849 policy really dictating to the people. And your policy has been, move. What move. A policy
If you don't
choice.
Like it, you can move. Women of Wisconsin, women voters of Wisconsin, Ron Johnson tells you, if you don't like his America, if you don't like Ron Johnson's Wisconsin, you can move.
Let's keep going. He moved from Minnesota here. Wish we could give him back. More from Ron Johnson, U.S. Senator on the debate stage Friday night. Marriage equality, cut 24.
Remind everybody that when I got back to my office on January 6th, because I was not impacted by what was happening in the Capitol. I didn't know what was happening until I turned on the TV.
I think this one's mislabeled. This is obviously about January 6th.
And forcefully, and have repeatedly condemned it.
And he may not have noticed that an insurrection was happening because he called those people patriots. He called them tourists. These are the folks that he supported. This is an act that he supported. And you can make whatever comparisons he wants to, but the reality is this was an attempted overthrow of the government by trying to overturn a free and fair election.
I see it's yes. about the insurrection now. Now, we do have a somewhat unrelated but related soundbite. Jen Psaki, the former, White House press secretary. Well, now she's an MSNBC pundit. And she had this to say over the weekend. She felt like Mandela by talking about the insurrection. Missed an opportunity? This is not what Wisconsinites are thinking about, according to Coastal Elite. Jen Psaki played for the people. Cut number 30.
I agree with Brendan that crime is an issue that Democrats have to speak to. I think there was a missed opportunity there for Mandela Barnes when he talked about the insurrection. I think that was a little disconnected from what people in Wisconsin are feeling. I mean, Milwaukee crime is up in Milwaukee. I agree with Brendan that crime.
Suck it, Jen Psaki. Turn it off. We're done with her because she's absolutely wrong. This does matter. Democracy matters in my state. I hope it matters all across the nation, Dom. But democracy matters. How can this not be a central election issue when the current senior senator from the state of Wisconsin was involved personally in the insurrection, was willing to be the transporter of the fraudulent Trump electors to the vice president and admitted, is it only involved? Yeah, it was seconds. Now it's a minute. Now it's an hour. But he also confessed effectively. I took text communiques with the Trump lawyers, and you know, when they ask you, hey, can you, you know, help commit a coup against the U.S. government, against our democracy?
Sure.
That was his attitude. So if you don't think that's an important issue to the people of the great state of Wisconsin, maybe you should come out to flyover country here, Jen Psaki. Come back. I don't like her today. Poor devil's advocate. You love us every day, especially on Mondays.
Soul. 60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Friend of mine on murder. And the judge's gavel fell.
Radio
I'm
show. And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, the U.S. senatorial debate played out Friday right here across the Civic Media Network, and the gubernatorial debate will play out this Friday, same, 7 Central Time. Tim Michaels against the returning champ, Governor Tony Evers, and that will be the singular gubernatorial debate. Now, the Senate hopefuls, if you will, I guess Mandela's the hopeful, one's the incumbent, that's Rojo, your buddy, they go at it again this Thursday night, Dom. Now, we do not have the...
If Rojo shows up.
He'll show, don't you think?
He was already crying a little bit about it, man.
You know, I heard someone else say, this wasn't really truly a debate. Do you remember the one time that Mandela tried to mix it up? And the moderator seemed quite stunned, like... Well, you're stepping on Mr. Johnson's time. Please don't be so rude. I'm thinking that's what you do in a debate, right? You say,
well,
hey.
Yeah, right. You take over, do what you can, and punch rhetorically as hard as you can. Jason Calvey, he's a local Fox 6 reporter. He said Ron Johnson, he tweeted this out, Ron Johnson tells reporters the debate, quote, was more of an ambush. Pretty much 8-1. We didn't have a question about inflation, gas prices, a good question on our open borders. It was all the questions coming from the left. And of course, there were questions about inflation, gas prices, and immigration. But since Rojo didn't answer them, you know, good. He didn't answer them well. He didn't answer them appropriately, perhaps. He thought it was just an ambush. Everybody teaming up against poor Ron Johnson. You know, when you get to that point, and this is from today, this was tweeted out. I don't know when he actually said the comment. But you know, if that's your analysis of your own performance, you know damn well in your soul, Ron Johnson, you got your ass kicked in that debate.
Don't be a whiny bitch, Ron.
Right.
You snowflake. Let's play more of Snowflake Senator Ron Johnson. Cut number 25, if you would, Calvin. I believe this is the conversation about climate and a little bit of China. 25.
So the climate has always changed, always will change. So I don't deny climate change. The question is, can you really do anything about it? When China, when India, they're going to be burning fossil fuels, America's going to have to burn fossil fuels.
Well, he said more than that. Dom, he went on, in conclusion, the entirety of that statement.
I have the actual.
Oh, please.
Yes. As reported in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Ron Johnson, there are a lot of problems here, so we have to focus on how we use fossil fuels responsibly. We simply can't afford spending hundreds of billions of dollars trying to solve a problem that's not solvable.
Hashtag unsolvable.
Rojo.
Why try, Ron?
Do nothing. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
What a ridiculous position to take. Big problems are not solvable. Look forward to the earth just burning. I mean, that's the alternative, sir. Of course, you think it's all BS. That's what you've said publicly. And the fact that you take, what, nearly $1 million from the petrochemical industry for your reelective campaign? Did that color your opinion at all, Senator? A little bit more from Rojo. This one, marriage equality, I believe this time. Cut 26. Cut.
When the Supreme Court ruled for gay marriage, I thought, okay, there's an issue. It's been settled. Let's move on. We have a lot of other problems we have to deal with. That Supreme Court decision will never be overturned. This is another scare tactic by the left. I know Justice Thomas kind of opened up the door, but this is where stare decisis is very powerful, where you're not going to disrupt millions of lives. I don't want millions of lives disrupted.
What? You don't want millions of lives disrupted, so then you're down with the Roe v. Wade decision, Ron Johnson? I mean, how is it any different?
Well, of course, Roe v. Wade was never going to be overturned. It was stare decisis. It was
Yes. We wouldn't disturb millions of people.
The very fact that he acknowledges that Clarence Thomas in the Dobbs decision, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, effectively said, now let's take a swing at Obergefell. Let's take a swing at gay marriage next. Well, why would we libtards, us liberals, Ron, why would we ever get the impression that might be on the cutting block? Oh, yeah, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, who you referenced in your answer. So to say, well, you know, that would never happen. You've
ridiculous.
Lost a little credibility on the topic. I would refer you to the prior Dobbs decision. Let's keep going. More from Rojo on the minimum wage, Dom. You know, let the markets decide. Hell, you're only worth $1 an hour, I think. Cut 27.
I think a strong economy is the best approach to this thing. I really don't like the federal government getting involved in doing price fixing on anything, and that includes wages. So that's the best thing, is having the marketplace take care of it rather than government set a minimum wage, which then starts eliminating jobs.
Don't allow the government to set a minimum wage.
No minimum wage. There should be no regulation in wages. Well, let's think about what this means, though. So then, Senator Johnson, are you totally fine with slavery? Forced labor?
Well, I mean, the market bears.
Well, this is what I'm saying. If that is your criteria, if I can force people into labor, you know, by hook or crook, one way or another, to make them work for me and not pay them, well, you're fine with that, right? Because I can create the market to make that happen. What? Dom.
Slavery, such an ugly word. Indentured servitude.
Right. So as soon as you decide that, no, we're not going to have indentured servitude, no, we are not going to have slavery, regardless of what the market conditions are, you have accepted federal controls on labor, on wages. Now it's a matter of degree. And 725 didn't cut it 15 years ago, certainly doesn't cut it now.
Ron's rich.
Doesn't affect you. Right. Yeah, no big deal.
When's the last time you think Ron had to think about the minimum wage? Just what he tries to pay the people at the plant.
When he has to come up with something to say to support keeping minimum wage at $7.25 or eliminating it altogether. That's when Ron Johnson thinks about minimum wage.
Dom, you don't have to contend with the minimum wage when you're willing to move your operations offshore to China and accept a $50 million loan from the Bank of China. And that's what his company effectively did. Both the mothership, Paccor, and then the other company that, you know, basically his family owns that had the $50 million loan from the Bank of China. Ron, you know, just because they don't have a minimum wage in China, that's how he gets around it. You know, indentured servitude.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Man, you can let it play out. I like the music. I know what I'm doing here. I'm a trained professional, Calvin. You just play it. You keep up with me, rookie. That's what you do. So anyways, it is a Mandela Monday here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, we've got the candy, Mandela Barnes, joining us very shortly, about 4:45, 4:50-ish. You know how it goes. But anyways, Dom, want to get back to a little bit of the recap of the big debate that happened Sunday night and want to make sure we left some time for our callers before the candy gets here. 844-967-2789. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can always be a part. Yeah, most of you. I think we're going to set some new rules, Dom.
I don't like rules, Crudy. What are you talking about?
You know, just to be fair to the audience, I think I've got a rule.
Okay.
Crudy's arbitrary rule number 197.
That can change anytime Crudy decides.
Subsection D. Here's the rule. One show, one call per day. That's it. One show, one call per day. Yeah, we got some frequent flyers up around here, Dom. You know, not that we don't like our frequent flyers, but people would think we got like eight people listening to the radio station if all we do is take the same frequent flyers each and every day. So, new Crudy rule 196.3 subsection D is one call per show per day. What do you think? That's fair.
Right? How is that any different than what we do now?
Well, because you only get one call a day, so you better be selective.
Oh, per show, like per other shows on Civic Media. No, so if you call the morning show,
don't call me.
Well, how are you gonna patrol that, man?
Half the time, Dick tells us what he told man on the morning show when he calls us for like his third call of the day. You know how it goes. So, anyways, use it sparingly with, you know. With great power comes great responsibility, Dom.
Okay, man.
844-967-2789. So, anywho, let's get back to the U.S. senatorial debate. And we got a little bit more. We've got Rojo talking about Social Security. Now, Rojo's kind of evolved on this issue, isn't it? Now, he's got the actual attitude. And then he's got the general election attitude. What he tells people he thinks about Social Security and Medicare, you know, when he's on a debate stage and a little worried about losing. So, anyways, let's hear what he had to say on Friday night. Cut number 28, U.S. Senator Dobbs buddy Ron Johnson.
Medicare would be at the top of the priority list. I've never, ever said I would cut it. We'll put it in the
You have.
That is a false attack.
Called it a Ponzi scheme.
Sir,
called it candy.
Lieutenant Governor, this is his time, and I'm going to add a little time to that to
you have proposed
reviewing Social Security rather than having it be what's called an entitlement, which means it goes on.
You're putting words in my mouth.
All right, sir.
I was talking
your words.
About we have. Part of the reason we're $31 trillion in debt now is because we separate mandatory versus discretionary spending.
Right.
We don't even look at 70% of the budget. And so we spend like drunken sailors on the other 30%. We need to combine everything, look at all of it, so we start prioritizing spending. We can't afford, for example, to spend $369 billion on the Green New Deal fantasy that, of course, Lieutenant Governor
supports. But back to entitlement
supports.
Versus review, your position.
Pardon?
back.
What?
It's an entitlement. We have to honor those promises, but the greatest threat to those promises is the out-of-control deficit spending.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
I mean, it's contradictory. I mean, why would you put it up for review if it's not an option to cut? Right? I mean, so the fact that you even wanted up for review shows that you're down for the cut. But then you say we got to honor it, but it's going to be insolvent. Well, how about you could just, you know, keep the Social Security. Don't let it cap and expire at 120,000 or whatever it is now. You could just keep it on. There's several ways to address it. But he is contradictory in his own answers.
Ron's corporation has lots of employees, and there are a lot of rich people, and perhaps most of our working class audience doesn't realize this, Dom, but if you make enough money, you stop paying Social Security. Do you know that?
Yeah,
as does the employer, right? And I don't even know what the cap is. Caps for people to make more money than I do, probably, Dom, but it's what, $136,000?
$147,000 right
now.
Used
to be like $106,000.
No, back in the day, man. Inflation. Yeah, so if you make more than $147,001, you do not pay into the Social Security fund at that point.
And nor does the employer.
Correct.
So there is a savings of, 7.65% to the employee on their top dollars earned, right? The highest marginal, you know, they talk about marginal tax rates. That's not from day one. That's not from dollar one. That's on the stack dollars, the highest dollars in the stack. Well, in this case, Tom, you get about a 15% cut, right? 15% not going in, not the employee's contribution, not the employer's contribution. Why is that? I mean, seriously, if that is the only thing preventing, the ongoing feasible duration of stable Social Security is to remove the cap, and that is my impression. Why don't we just do that? Why do we have to revisit it each and every year, like Ron Johnson would suggest, because he just wants to freaking cut it?
Well, he would suggest it sometimes and sometimes not suggest it and try to, you know, muddy the waters on it. I mean, the man stood up there in front of the crowd, in front of the moderator who hushed Mandela Barnes when he was trying to call out the hypocrisy and gave conflicting answers.
Well, let's see what Mandela had to say on Social Security. If you would, Calvin, cut number 22, U.S. senatorial candidate Mandela Barnes.
When I think about Social Security, I think about my grandparents. I think about my parents. I think about so many other retired Americans who paid into a system who deserve to retire with some dignity and respect. Now, it's unfortunate that Senator Johnson said that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. There was even an instance where he called Social Security candy. He calls Social Security candy. This is what's keeping people who have worked their entire lives afloat. And the threat to take that away from them does not sit well with me, along with most other people. Now, what we need to do is not just make Social Security solvent. We should strengthen Social Security. We can do that by making sure the wealthy pay their fair share. We need to make sure that billionaires are paying more into this system. Now, the senator goes on about the deficit, but he had no problem blowing a $2 trillion hole into the deficit by passing the 2017 tax bill that gave $215 million in tax deductions to his biggest donors in a single year. And he wants to put Social Security and Medicare on the chopping block.
And now those donors are contributing to funds that are actively running ads against you, Mandela Barnes.
844-967-2789. Try to leave some time for you, our fair audience, before candidate Mandela Barnes joins us. But contrary to the bitching and the whining of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Mandela fielded a couple of tough questions as well. Of course, the attacks on him have been about cash bail. Well, here is how Mandela answered the question. Cut number 20, if you would, Calvin.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate this question because it has been sensationalized and it's also been mischaracterized. Now, I supported bail reform. Now, under my plan, dangerous people don't get to buy their way out of prison. Now, Senator Johnson may not have encountered a problem he couldn't buy his way out of, but that's not reality for the majority of people in this state. And what has come to light is how people have unfortunately used the Waukesha tragedy, even going so far as to use it in commercials, re-traumatizing families. Now, under my plan, the perpetrator wouldn't have been able to get out if he paid $1,000 or $100,000. This is about keeping people safe by making sure that those who are likely to offend and cause harm do not get to buy their way out of jail. That's the system that we have now. And this sort of reform that I support has been supported by Republicans all across the country as well.
One last one. Calvin, need your help on this one. One last one from Mandela Barnes. Jen Psaki criticized him for, what, not talking about the border and crime or something. Well, he did. Cut 21, if you would, please.
That pathway to citizenship isn't just the humane thing to do. It's also good for our economy, as you mentioned. This is something we have to do. We can create a system that keeps our border safe, that treats people with dignity and respect, does not subject our children to the horrors of family separation. Now, the senator had 12 years to do something about this. He even had a chance with a bipartisan infrastructure law because there was funding in there for border modernization, but the senator decided to play politics instead of doing the right thing.
Decided to play politics instead of doing the right thing, Dom. I thought Mandela won the debate handily. I thought he
No question. Cringeworthy moments, none for Mandela that I recognized, and a few for Ron as he stammered and stuttered. Another one that I thought was important that I wanted to bring to the audience, Ron Johnson. Here's what he had to say. The first thing you do is fund law enforcement, talking about, you know, public safety. Unfortunately, the lieutenant governor has not done that. He has a record of wanting to defund the police. I know he doesn't necessarily say that word, but he has a long history of being supported by people that are leading that effort to defund. So Ron Johnson admitted on the debate stage that Mandela Barnes never said defund the police. And Mandela Barnes is supported by some folks who perhaps want to do that and insert your definition here. But Ron knows it, Mandela knows it, and all those people that are running those ads right now should take them off the air.
844-967-2789. Bob, calling in from Minneapolis. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. Hey, I did listen to the debate, or at least most of it, I think. And I've got a little unasked for advice, both Lieutenant Governor Barnes and whoever the guy, Paff was on Tom Hartman earlier today.
Brad Paff?
When you're asked, yeah, that guy, running for the 3rd Congressional District in Oscone over there.
Yes, sir.
When somebody asks a question, answer the freaking question first, and then do your political answer afterward.
Yeah.
And I heard a lot of that from Mandela, and actually, to his credit, Ron Johnson kind of did better on that, even though his
was Ron good on, precisely? Because when they started the debate, I forget what the first question asked, but Ron just went off on his tirade. Had nothing to do with the question asked. He went off on like 4 other topics. I don't know what you're talking about, Bob.
I missed the first couple minutes on this. I maybe caught the last 2/3 of it or whatever. So what I heard, even though his answers were made up of lies and mischaracterizations, they were more on topic in general.
Okay, I'll give you that, not counting the first meandering non-answer. I'll from your perspective.
I mean, I guess, you know, I didn't listen to it in that regard. I mean, I thought, you know, Mandela did a fine job answering and then pivoting to what he wanted to talk about and put it into his light. But if you look, Bob, at, you know, Senator Johnson's response to the Social Security, for example, he gave conflicting answers. He gave two separate answers. You can't, these things all cannot be true at the same time. So, and then even if he did, if Ron Johnson did, you know, say something that was a direct response to a question that ended up being a lie or a spin, I'm not clear that I'd give him points for that either. I mean, hey, what color is the sky today? Well, it's purple. And let me tell you why Mandela Barnes is terrible. Is not a great answer.
844-967-2789. Andy from Beaver Dam, you're next. Andy, what do you got for us?
Hey, Andy.
Well, Dom and Coop, I am an occasional caller, even though I'm good friends with you guys, and I listen to you most of the time. So I want to try to make what I'm going to say now count. Because, like you say, you should only get one chance. First of all, Mr. Michaels is not the main boss of that Michaels Construction, even though I think the first time he ever drove a dump truck when he was doing those ads, you know, I mean, he's was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he's an empty suit, 56 years old. The next thing that I would tell you guys, either on or off the air, tell Mandela to take the gloves off. In other words, don't be, you know, get to the and point out all the things that you guys have been pointing out about Ron Johnson after he got pissed off and wouldn't come on your Devil's Radio.
We stopped asking for the record.
Yeah. Well, but I'm saying, why would any Wisconsin citizen in their right mind, now there's the 30% that are blind but or whatever, but why would anybody in their right mind want to have, he's already had 12-year chance.
Andy, you didn't get that question up. Mandela Barnes, shouldn't. Lieutenant Governor, great state of Wisconsin. He joins us next. Stick around.
Make it go. Play some music.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, please go to the website, darnwi.com. You can listen to podcasts and interviews.
Dominic, we are expecting Lieutenant Governor, U.S. Senatorial candidate Mandela Barnes. Have you screened him? Is he ready? Let's try. Mandela,
I'm
welcome.
Here.
Hey, man. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Mandela.
Always happy to be here. How's it going?
Good, man. Thank you.
Mandela, let me commend your debate performance. I thought you handed Ron most of his ass. Let's start with the topic of insurrection. You were very blunt in your assessment of Ron Johnson last time I saw you, and I think from the debate stage. Now, some are saying out in the D.C. sort saying, oh, Wisconsinites don't care about the fact that Ron Johnson is an insurrectionist. We care, Mandela. Did you think it was important to make that point on the debate stage?
I think it was very important, and that was actually just a few-second interaction, right? Well, a few seconds, just like his involvement in trying to overturn the election, but to the fake electors. But we covered a broad variety of topics. I think that we had a chance to hit on a lot of what was important to people across the state. So touching on the fact that Senator Johnson wants to talk about crime, wants to talk about law enforcement, when the reality is he supported a violent insurrection that left 140 officers injured. It was important to clear the air and set the record straight for people who may, you know, have not realized what Senator Johnson's involvement actually was or what the hypocrisy is when he talks about law enforcement.
Well, Mandela, you know that Johnson's been hitting you with crime and all his allies have been hitting you with crime, and especially the issue of cashless bail. Mandela, will you take a minute and address that issue as it regards to Daryl Brooks, the perpetrator in the Waukesha Parade murders? Mandela, that guy wouldn't have been out on the street under the proposition you put forth, would he have?
He absolutely would not have been, and independent fact checkers said as much. The reality is the current law is what makes us less safe. The plan that I proposed, alongside Representative Goyke and a number of others, is actually modeled after Republican legislation. Republican Governor Chris Christie, he embraced this idea because it shouldn't be how much money you have that determines whether you're in jail. And it needs to be the severity of the crime. Now, unfortunately, the system allows people who can buy their freedom, regardless of dangerous they may be, buy their way out of jail pre-trial. Under my plan, the person in Waukesha wouldn't have been able to get out if he paid $1,000 or $100,000. So this is Ron Johnson and his allies trying to distort the record. And they're saying, you know, under Mandela's proposal, this is what happened. And he even said that I wrote the bill. The fact is, the bill isn't the law, and the problem is the current law that we have.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Lieutenant Governor from the great state of Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes, also a senatorial candidate, joining us on the phones. Mandela, thank you once again. Did appreciate your performance against Ron Johnson on the debate. Look forward to seeing you again this week. Ron Johnson threw out there regarding climate change that we can't afford spending hundreds of billions of dollars trying to solve a problem that is not solvable. Ron Johnson thinks that climate change is not solvable. I want to get you your reaction to that, Mandela.
I mean, that is like it is a frightening approach. It is frightening that any person in the United States Senate, any person with any ability to change the circumstances we're dealing with right now, will walk away from that responsibility. Now, also on the debate stage, Senator Johnson said that CO2 was not harmful. And I had to say it over again to make sure I heard the right thing, which was confirmed. He said CO2 is not harmful. Now, we all know better. And we're being misled. We are being gaslit by politicians who say that we can't solve climate change. The fact is, we have to fix this problem. And the thing about it, we can create good paying jobs in the process while doing it because we've done it before. The reality is China manufactures 80% of the world's solar panels. We should be in on that action. Wisconsin should absolutely be picking up the bulk of that work. The United States of America should be picking up the bulk of that work. We can create thousands of good paying jobs. When the EPA, when the Clean Air Act was implemented, we had new emission standards for vehicles. Cars had to have catalytic converters to achieve those standards. My dad, his brother, thousands of other people got good paying union jobs because Congress took bold action to address climate change. We're in that same exact moment now. But if we have people who are bought and paid for by the fossil fuel industry, people like Ron Johnson, who receive hundreds of thousands of dollars in support from fossil fuel, from the fossil fuel industry, we cannot expect things to change. We can only expect more of the same. People who make up every single excuse for an industry that is harmful to our future.
Our fine guest, candidate Mandela Barnes for U.S. Senate. Mandela, will it be Rovember? Will we see Democratic women, women of all political stripes, come out and overwhelm at the ballot box and vote for a guy like you who would stand up for their personal rights?
Well, I'm not in the prediction business, but what I can say is people are fired up, people are frustrated, and they're ready for change. The idea that politicians like Ron Johnson, who supported 8 different national abortion bans, has supported bans that had no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, the idea that they can make even more decisions about our health care and what we do or do not get to do with our own bodies does not sit well with people. 70% of people in Wisconsin think Roe should be the law of the land. And this dangerous, out-of-touch position that he has is going to further put the lives and the health of women at risk.
Okay, let's cut to the most important question in Dom's opinion. Mandela Barnes, if elected to the U.S. Senate, would you vote to deschedule to legalize marijuana, cannabis, on a federal level, sir?
It was one of the very first questions that came up in the debate, and I'm proud to say that I would absolutely support that.
Well, that would put you with the majority of Wisconsinites that feel like you and I and Dominic do. Mandela, if people want to support your campaign, how can they still get involved? Or what? Tomorrow will be a month to the election.
Yeah, turn that digital dial, turn that web browser to www.mandelabarnes.com. We would appreciate the help. We're being massively outspent right now. Ron Johnson and special interest friends are outspending us on TV, as I'm sure you see it if you've ever turned on a television in the last couple months. And they are trying to lie. They're trying to distract. But the way we combat this is with the grassroots enthusiasm, the grassroots support that we have built from day one. So we need your help. If you get one of those text messages that say chip in $3, don't ignore it. Don't delete it. If anything, respond to it and forward it, because we need all of your help to get this thing done. We can create a better future. Ron Johnson does not truly represent who we are. We can do things much better than we've ever done them before. We can give everybody a fair shot.
Mandela, last 15 seconds, prediction for Thursday night, debate 2.0.
Oh, no, I got no predictions. I can predict that I will be there.
I would have predicted pain for Ron Johnson. Mandela Barnes, thank you, sir. We'll talk real soon.
Thanks, Mandela.
Hey, thank you.
More Devil's Advocates. Hour 2 is next.